I'm Candace Long with Lessons in the Latter Days, offering biblical commentary to make sense of the times that we're living in. Today's episode is called Post-Pandemic Implications, Part 3, The Shift in the Biblical Timetable. Everywhere I go, people who never really spoke about the end of days are talking about it. They're reading things they never would have been drawn to before. Just yesterday, I got a text from an old friend who asked if I had read Rabbi Jonathan Cahn's book, Return of the Gods. I texted back, yes, I have that book. But I have been researching, writing, and teaching about the Nephilim for many, many years now. In my online store, you'll find 8 detailed monographs on how the Nephilim have invaded our culture and are manifesting today. You won't hear about this on the nightly news or, sadly, in most churches. The biblical time has shifted, and longtime Christians who never thought about such things are waking up. A business colleague recently commented about this series, Lessons in the Latter Days, and he said, "My Sunday school class has started talking about all this. It's like the world has gone crazy and nothing makes sense anymore." What we're living now is not life as we used to know it. God has an appointed season called the latter days. The word latter refers to the very tail end of 6,000 years that God has allotted for mankind. No election or all-night vigils of intercession, no decree if you're prone to pray that way, has the ability to change this time, this season. Just weeks ago, I met with a business colleague who has spent his whole life studying the financial markets. I always enjoy my times with Bob because over the years, I've been able to pick his brain to learn his observations. Since I have been studying the elite's plans for our financial system for over 30 years. This meeting, however, was different. I have never seen him so somber. It was as if the signs he now sees financially are not just overseas, but much closer to home. He listened more intently than usual about what I'm observing biblically concerning the end of days. Oh, he's been familiar with my work. He just never seemed open to hear much about it. So I learned over the years to be discreet with my words and not come across too salty with him, if you know what I mean. For many years, he has been a trusted consultant. But as I was leaving his office the other day, I had the sense this may be the last time I would see him. I turned to look at him and I said, "The Lord be with you, Bob." And after a long pause, he replied, "And with you." Just the other day in one of my classes, a student said, "I have this feeling something really bad is about to happen." She's right. Whatever is going on in the atmosphere, I sense it too. I feel a strange tension, an unrest. It shows up as more pain in my body. Most days now I'm writing through a great deal of pain. And as I discuss this with others who also live a consecrated lifestyle, they feel it too. I bring this all up because in this episode, I want to discuss what this shift is. There has been a definite shift in the spiritual world, and it is a real phenomenon, not just a vague feeling. God means it to be noticeable. But how do we learn to detect things like this? I'm known as an end times navigator. I tell listeners about the biblical signs and signals of these days and help them learn to navigate through the dark times toward the place the Father is leading His children. Today, I want to pass on some lessons I learned during 7 years of training to become instrument rated as a pilot. This means I'm trained and licensed by the FAA to fly through clouds when you can't see where you're going or how to get there. The number one navigational lesson is knowing how to use the instruments inside the cockpit to guide you. I'm speaking metaphorically now. You have to know your altitude, whether you are flying high enough over the mountain that's right in front of you, which direction you're headed, whether you're descending or climbing, whether you're slowly turning to the left and don't realize it. You see, inside an airplane are actual navigational instruments that tell you everything you need to know to guide you from where you are in the sky, based on latitude and longitude, to your final destination. In the same way, God has given us spiritual navigational lessons to guide us to our final destination, which is the kingdom of God. And I believe it's just a few years away. Spiritual navigation lesson number one is found in an overlooked passage in Hebrews 5. Let's start in verse 11, in which the writer of Hebrews is discussing some of the deeper things about Messiah's life. He writes, quote, "About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food," and here's where we're going to focus, "solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil," unquote. God wants us to be mature, to have our spiritual faculties trained by practice to distinguish or discern what's happening spiritually. Some translations use the word spiritual senses rather than the word faculties. We need to be able to sense when we have entered a different biblical season, when there has been a shift in the journey to the kingdom. The Greek word for these spiritual faculties or senses is the word aistheterion, which means an organ of perception. Some people refer to this as your gut. Others call it an inner knowing. In essence, this organ is like an antenna that God put inside to help us perceive and interpret what's going on in the spiritual climate around us, using all five senses: sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. Those who spend a lot of time in God's presence have these faculties or senses finely tuned. I call them body tells, because the body actually tells you stuff. Each person's body is different, and those who walk closely with the Lord know without a shadow of a doubt when something is happening for their good or given to warn them. Let me give you some examples. In a recent master class, I asked my students to share the body tells they have come to rely on. You see, God gives us the ability to sense His presence, and each person hears Him in a different way. Jesus said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice." That's a sense. They hear Jesus and recognize His voice. He communicates to each one of us so individually that we know with every part of our being that His is the voice we're hearing. Now, this is a critical principle to understand in this evil day with so many voices out there and so much misinformation. So I asked my students for examples. What do you experience when the Lord's presence is near? And here were some of their answers. A feeling of lightness, a tightness in the stomach, chills, crying without knowing why. Some of them smell a sweet aroma. Others feel light shimmering throughout the body. Now, you can't go to school and learn these body tells. They develop over time as we walk with the Lord, in close relationship with Him. And biblically, we're encouraged to pay attention to our antennas, learn when we detect things correctly, and be patient with ourselves if we don't hear so well at first. That's how we grow. Hebrews says we learn by practice. Some translations say we learn by exercise to discern good from evil. And that term exercise in the Greek refers to when they practiced naked in the athletic games. Now, the Lord is saying here that we are like antennas that He sends out into the world, naked, so to speak, to learn to detect where the dangers are coming from and when we are safe. Now, I need to say here that you don't learn these things sitting in a pew. The Lord has put us here in this world as His light, and we have to learn from our internal instruments because our safety, our life, depends on it. You learn these through an active, ongoing, growing relationship with Jesus as you live out life in the world. Next, I ask my students what their body tells are when they are in the presence of unclean spirits. You see, as our faculties mature, when our relationship with the Lord deepens, we can discern not only whether we are around unclean spirits, but often we can identify the names of them. God gave us this gift so we can take authority over these spirits in the name of Jesus and loose ourselves from them and help others who may be oppressed or possessed by them. So those who are involved in ministry, who walk closely with the Lord, are aware of these faculties, these internal navigation instruments, and they are equipped for today's spiritual climate. Here were some answers my students gave when around unclean spirits. A chill on the back of the neck. An inner knowing that an unclean spirit is nearby. A heightened sense of awareness. The heart rate increases. Some people smell a sulfur odor. Others feel anxiety or see demons looking at them through someone else's eyes. When I'm in the presence of an unclean spirit, I know it immediately because my body tell is the feeling of hair standing on the back of my neck and a spirit of unrest like I've got to get out of here. This is a key signal for me. Another thing I pay attention to is what I'm feeling in a particular place. If I'm overwhelmed with anxiety and unrest, I've learned that I'm in the presence of spirits of anxiety and chaos. These are actual names of spirits. So I get off by myself and I command those spirits of anxiety and chaos to get out of my presence in Jesus' name. You see, God made us to be able to sense the climate we are in and keep moving forward through it. Remember, everywhere that Jesus walked, unclean spirits manifested. They acted out. So if we are being sent out into the world, He has given us authority over whatever spirits we encounter. And we pick up those spirits with our eisteterion, our internal antenna, and we cast them out. Jesus knew exactly what spirits He was dealing with. He knew Judas was in the grip of Satan and discerned the very moment when his disciple was fully taken over by the enemy. At Gethsemane, our Lord looked at Judas straight in the eye and said, "This is your hour, the power of darkness." Now, he was speaking to Judas, but he was addressing the evil one inside of his former disciple. And he recognized the shift in his own spiritual climate. It was less than 24 hours before he would be put to death. Pay attention to your senses. If you're invited to go out of town and suddenly don't feel peace about it, pay attention to that and stay home. It's never been more important. I remember being asked to come teach on how God speaks in dreams to a charter school of children kindergarten through 12th grade. And I said to the principal, "I've never taught children before." And she said, "But they are dreaming, and they need help to know what God is saying." Now, this was a stretch for me, but an experience I'll never forget. These children were precious. Most of them were having awful apocalyptic dreams and were scared. They needed to learn God's navigational systems. Our children need to be taught how to deal with what's going on. It's scary out there. And children pick up these things very easily because their spirits are so tender and sensitive. Spiritual navigation lesson number 2 has to do with the aviation map that's right next to you. Once you get in the plane, you should have completed your entire flight plan and filed it with air traffic control. The government authority over the airways should know who you are, and that you are en route to a certain destination. You should intimately know every flight coordinate of your entire trip, what frequency you need to dial to get clearance to take off. You need to know how to program your flight plan into your GPS navigation system and all the frequencies you'll need to monitor the navigational points all along the way. If you get off course, you need to know how to use the aviation map to get back on course. And here is a problem. Most Christians are not studying the navigational map God gave us to get to the kingdom. I'm talking about the Torah. Believers are not studying the journey that dominates the Torah. Leaving a life of oppression at the Exodus and navigating a 40-year journey to a land that God promised. This journey is the metaphorical picture for our journey to the kingdom. Every story you read was given by the Lord Himself to warn us, who are living today, how to get to the kingdom safely. And the specific promises God gave His people as to what to do and what to avoid so they would escape every danger, every disease, every enemy throughout the journey. Now, if you go to a church that teaches the Old Testament is no longer important, that we have Jesus and that's all we need, you are in the wrong church. Jesus said in Matthew 8, quote, "Many will come from east and west and sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven," unquote. Are you ready to meet them? The kingdom, after all, is Jewish, and our patriarchs will be front and center there. Do you know anything about their lives and what God taught them to pass down to us? Everything I teach in this series has come from my studies in the Torah, which I have been studying since 2006. Spiritual navigation lesson number 3 is knowing when to stop cruising. Let me back up a minute. There are four primary phases of operation during a flight. Each phase has a specific checklist that you have to follow. Phase one is the takeoff, where you leave the ground and climb to the required altitude. Phase two is the cruise portion of the flight. You put the plane on autopilot and rest for most of the flight. And this is where most people are now. They have been cruising. Suddenly, though, they can't go anywhere without worrying about somebody shooting at them or having their identity stolen. They can't jog in the park for fear of getting mugged or killed. Their children can't play outside for fear of being snatched and sold to a trafficking ring. This is the shift. Phase three happens about 20 to 30 miles out from your destination. The adrenaline kicks in because this is the time you have to prepare to land. And phase four happens even quicker. When you're in this phase, the navigational needles are very sensitive the closer you get to the runway. Now, this part of the flight requires extreme concentration and precision. You cannot just cruise into the kingdom. What does it mean to be cleared for the approach? It means you have to have permission from the authorities to land in His kingdom. That is the only way in. Now, there are several passages in the Gospels where people tried to enter the kingdom and found it locked. They banged on the door saying they'd gone to church and had done this or that for God. But Jesus said, "I don't know you." The gospel of the kingdom teaches that the Lord is coming soon for those who are His. If you know about Jesus but do not know Him personally, I encourage you to pray this. Jesus, I need you. I can't make it to the kingdom without clearance. I believe that you are the Messiah who died for me so I can spend eternity with you and my Heavenly Father. I give you what's left of my life to serve you however you created me to be. Teach me your word and put me in a good situation where I can learn your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. When Daniel was in exile in Babylon, he was reading Jeremiah's writings, predicting the 70-year exile. And suddenly Daniel's spirit leapt, realizing by counting how long he had been living in Babylon that there were only two more years to go before the exile was finished. That was a directional beacon that God gave him in His word, only two more years to go. So he prayed and asked God, "Lord, what is next for us?" In the next episode, I'm going to lay out for you two of the biblical signs unfolding right now that pinpoint this shift in the timetable. You will know where we are and how much further we have to go. You can find my podcasts, written publications, and instructional courses on my website at CandiceLong.com. If you'd like to share this episode, you'll find it at CandiceLong.com/podcasts. It's called Post-Pandemic Implications Part 3, The Shift in the Biblical Timetable. I want to thank you for being with me today. And I hope you join me again next time. I'm Candace Long, and you've been listening to Lessons in the Latter Days. God bless.